double half Torah. Again, Yishai Perek Nundal Pasakalif Rani Yaakov Lo Yolada. Yishai is referring to Yimos HaMashiach. That's the first important thing we have to remember. And he's saying too that the Akara in the past, the Klal Yisrael that was considered an Akara in the past, now the time, then and Lo, again, we read the expression backwards, the Akara, Lo Yolada, two expressions, and Akara automatically is a Lo Yolada. Why is there repetition? So the truth is, I'm not sure. I'm sure there's something very deep. There is a let me just see this over here. Roni Akar Lo Yolada, the Akar that did not give birth, now the time is, the time has come for her to sing, to rejoice, because she will give birth, meaning the Gula is coming, the Gula is here, and all of her children are returning to Eretz Yisrael, and it's like an Akara, the incredible joy that an Akara has when she gives birth. It could be that there's two different... An Akara is a woman that's not capable of giving birth. Lo Yolada is a woman that is capable of giving birth. It's just that she has not conceived. Each one has a unique tsar. A woman that's an Akara has a certain type of pain that she does not have the ability. A woman that's Lo Yolada, it's different, because she has an expectation that she should be able to give birth, and yet Hashem has withheld children from her. That's a different type of tsar. So why both? Because Klal Yisrael has both. There are things that Klal Yisrael, we recognize that we're not capable of doing. We're in a matzav of galus, and there are things that we want to accomplish, and we realize, no way, it's never going to happen. That's a certain tsar. There's a different type of tsar. When we realize it's biyodeinu, really we should be able to all come together and accomplish a certain goal, a certain mission. It's just that we can't get our act together to pull it off. Two different types of tsar with regard to a woman. Pitzchi means to break forth with great joy. Mitzudah Sion says, "Inyan psichas hapeh beharam askol." To open up the mouth and raise your voice, Rina, with song, with Tzahali. Tzahali is another example. I'm not exactly sure different expressions, but Tzahali is another example of joy. Chasanim mechupasan. The sound of mitzhalos, chasanim of joy, of expressions of joy. So pitzchi, so you want to say a chiddush, is that who's rejoicing here? It's the akara and her husband. So you want to say the word tzahali, kol chasanim. That refers to the men, the bride, the groom. Who is the groom? HaKadosh Baruch. Who is the kala? Klal Yisrael. So you're suggesting that when it says here, pitzchi rina, pitzchi refers to the akara, the wife, lo yolada, and the tzahali refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He also will rejoice this moment in time when the Klal Yisrael will return. Loi chola. Loi chola no longer. Loi chola means no longer will she experience the pain. Chola means the chevle lei. Doesn't over here mean illness. It means referring specifically to the Chavli Lei. Let's look at the Mitzudos David. Pitzchi Pel Laharim Kol Rina VeHashmi Kol Gadol Es Yerushalayim Asher Ha'isa Ki Isha Asher Loi Chola Leledes. She never had the birth pangs. A woman looks forward to those birth pangs to a certain degree, even though obviously it's intensely painful. But that is what brings forth the joy that comes later on. So this woman, that Lo Chola in the past, did not have the birth pangs to bring forth children. Now she will rejoice. Ki Rabbi b'nei Shemema b'nei Vula Amar Hashem. Hashem says that the simple interpretation of these words are that the joy that you're going to have when you return in the time of Gula is going to be greater than what was during the time of the Yishuv of Eretz Yisrael. The B'nei Shemema, Rabbi B'nei Shemema means the exiles that will return, what they will accomplish when they do return, those that were in the past, Shemema, will be greater than the Yishuv that existed during the time of B'nei V'ula, the time when there was a husband. Let's just see the Mitzudah started for a precise translation. Ki Rabim. Pasik Aleph, Kiyabim Kiata, now Yisrabu B'nei Yerushalayim Shehoysa Shemema, now Yerushalayim will be increased with inhabitants, which in the past shahaisa shemema nivnei adam shahaisam yusheves beravasam, that more than what was during the time when it was established. Who says this? Amar Hashem's. I saw a very beautiful drush, and the drush is that Klal Yisrael accomplished in Golus more than they accomplished during the time of the Bayis Rishon. If you look at the history, all of the Tanoim and the Amoraim and the Rishonim and the Goinim, Rabban and Savaroi, all lived during the time of Golus. They were Nevi'im during the time when the Bayis Rishon, they were Nevi'im. But the Goinim Torah was developed specifically Talmud Bavli in times of Golus. Kirabim b'nei Shemema, the children of Shemama of Golus, have brought about for HaKadosh Baruch Hu a greater honor, more kavod shemayim than b'nei v'ula, than the children who, than what was accomplished during the time when we were married. V'ula literally means a husband, or in this case, means you're a married woman. So the married woman in this context means established, miyusheves, more than what Klal Yisrael accomplished, more kavod shemayim that was accomplished during the times of Yishuv Haaretz. Amar Hashem. Pasuk Beis. Harchivim b'koyim ha'olech. What?
Rashi.
Yes. Hey Rash, let's see Rashi. Okay. So Rashi learns medrash more than we will have more numbers than the nation of Edom. Although Edom obviously has millions and hundreds of millions of people, Yerushalayim will have a population that is greater than the population of the entire nation of Edom. So B'nei Shomeima refers to Klal Yisrael, who was Shomeim in Golus. They will be more numerous than the B'nei V'ula, the nation that has been established in our Golus, which is the nation of Edom. We will outnumber them both in numbers and in quality. Okay, so basically we have over here three interpretations, Lamaskana. The first interpretation is the Mitzudas. The simple interpretation is that the numbers that will populate Eretz Yisrael at the time of the Geula will be more than the numbers of the Jews that lived in Yerushalayim and in Eretz Yisrael during the time when there was the Beis HaMikdash.
Yeah, Mitzudas David also says the Bnei Edom, not Odom.
He says that ki ata yisrabu b'nei Yishlam shaisa shomeima b'nei Adam.
I have Edom.
We have Edom. Aha. I have in mind Adam. B'nei Adam. Okay. Okay. They're different. We have three different editions. B'nei Adam shohaisa miyusheves b'rabas am. See, says miyusheves b'rabas am. That's more of an expression that refers to Yerushalayim. I don't think you would use that expression b'rabas am in reference to Edom. Correct. So it appears that this is b'rabas am. B'rabas am is more of an expression which I think would apply to Yerushalayim, to the Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that's very interesting. But according to the Mitzvah, the Parshat is that there are going to be more people living in Yerushalayim the time of Geula than the time before the Chorban. According to Rashi, we're comparing the Nebulas Edom to Klal Yisrael, which is the Bnei Shemema Klal Yisrael in the time of Golus. And according to the Drush, this is a popular Drush, I saw this, Rav Schwab also quotes this, is that it refers to the Bnei Shemema, it refers to what Klal Yisrael accomplished during Golus. The Tanoim, Amoraim, Rishayim, the Goinim, these are things which have been accomplished, great things, and that's on a deeper level the purpose of Golus. The purpose of Golus is a certain pressure, there's a certain environment in which we're able to accomplish more things in Golus than we were able to accomplish had we lived in Eretz Yisrael. But that's what?
That's a Nechama.
But okay, that's a difficult idea because obviously
we should stay in Golus.
Chas v'shalom. Because the answer is that the reason why we once discussed this is that how do we explain if this is true? Okay, let's just take a step back. If this would be true, that we only could accomplish certain things in Golus, then we cannot accomplish in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, what's the main purpose of Golus, according to many Mefarshim, is to extract sparks of holiness. When we go into Golus, we come in contact with the nations of the world. The nations of the world have sparks of holiness, which have to be nurtured and developed so they can reach their potential, and they need us. They need us to serve as a model to see how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Or Lagoyim.
And we have to go into Golos so that they should see what a Jew is, and how, at least subconsciously it should bother them. They also should want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the question then is that if we would not go into Golos, Golos obviously is a terrible punishment. If we would not go into Golos, how would these nations be able to nurture, to develop their potential to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their unique way? So the answer is this term called the Evan She'eves. When Klal Yisrael is living in Eretz Yisrael, Bizman Shabbos, Hamidosh HaYakayim, the Shechina Shara, the intensity of Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael is so great, it draws, it's a magnet. The Goyim, the Mela would come to us. They would feel the Kedusha pulling them from all corners of the world to come to visit Yerushalayim to see what it's all about, and they would develop in that fashion. But when the Beis Hamidosh is Chorav, we lose that magnetic power. And when we lose that magnetic power, we have no choice but to go out to the nations of the world, grassroots, and to recruit them out there in the world. That's how the Golus, and obviously that comes at a very great expense to us, because when we go out to the world, unfortunately they have an effect on us as well, a negative effect on us. So there is a churban that comes along with Golus. Okay, next pasuk base. Now we employ the metaphor of a tent. We once discussed this in Tanakh. You have ships and you have tents, and you have all different types of buildings, all different types of structures which are used as metaphors to describe different ideas. So here we're going to focus very much on a tent. And a tent has its unique parts. It has strings, ropes, it has an anchor, it has pegs, it has cloth, it has material. So here we're referring to Yerushalayim as a tent. Harchivi mekoy maholeh, widen the place of your tent. Virios mishmasayich, and the curtains of your mishkan, of your dwelling place. Yatu, yatu means to extend. Yatu means to turn. Al tach sochi, do not withhold. Do not withhold expanding. Expand your boundaries. Ha'arichi meis sorach, when you expand the walls of the tent and the material has been expanded, you need larger, longer ropes to keep everything in place. Harichi meis sorach, v'sedosai chazeki, you have to anchor the pegs in the ground with more concrete. If you have a small little tent, so it's enough to take the pegs, to which the ropes are attached, which hold the ureos in place, just to stick it in the ground. But when the tent is very, very big, then you have to put, the anchors have to be put into the ground with thick concrete to hold the tent. I mean, I went to a graduation in Boston, in one of the Ivy League schools, and they have their graduations every so often. They put up tents. So I was sitting next to the peg that was on the campus, and this peg was anchored with chunks of cement, because these pegs that, you know, they were there 24/7 year round, were, you know, always there to hold up these tents. When they would put up the tents every so often, they had to hold up these massive, massive tents. So exactly what it means, don't just stick in a little peg in the ground. You have to fasten the pegs. The foundation of the pegs must be very, very strong. Now, I want to say something very important. We have this idea of a tent. Said this on Tisha B'Av, one of the kinnas is called Oholi. It's a good word for this pasuk. Oholi. There's an entire kinnah that extracts every time in Tanakh the word Ohel is used as a reference for a place of Hashroas Hashchina. For example, the Avos had tents. We find the Mishkan is called a tent. The Beis Hamikdash is called a tent. All over, I think there are 13 references in that kina. It's one of the earlier kinos, that the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests his shechina is called a tent. What is the significance? The Beis Hamikdash is called a bayis. It's a bayis, a mishkan. Why is it also called a tent? So there's a tradition from the Gedolei Hadarshanim that the first time a word is used in Tanakh is where its essence is defined. The first time you find the tent is by Oda. Oda was one of the descendants of Cain. I think he was the eighth generation. I don't remember the exact pasuk now, but it says that the Oda was Av. Who Hoya Av? Liyoyshev Oihel Umikne. He was the first one to build a tent for his cattle, for his sheep, for his animals. And Rashi there explains that he was a shepherd. Oda was Oda. His name was Oda. Ayin Dalid Hey.
Oh, Oda.
No. Oda. He was an eighth generation from Cain. He built a tent. He was the Huhoya Av, which Rashi again explains he was the first one to build tents for his sheep. Why for the sheep? Not for the sheep, for himself. He would take the sheep out to pasture, and Rashi says he would go to one region for 30 days, let the animals feed off the grass, and then he would go to another land and let the animals pasture there, and then keep on going. Every 30 days he would move the animals to a different location. He would travel with the animals, and he, as the shepherd, needs a place to live. So he built for himself a tent. The tent was for the shepherd. The animals are out roaming and pasturing in the field, but the shepherd needs a tent. You see from this that the real tent is a structure that is built for a shepherd. We think of a tent today, you go on a summer vacation, you go hiking, go out into the forest, you go out camping, you have a tent. So what's the tent for? It's for you. It's nothing to do with a shepherd. But the tents that we associate, we think about today, are borrowed from the real tent. The real tent that appears in Tanakh, the very first tent, was a tent that was made for a shepherd. Hu hoya'av hu hoya'av avi le'oyel u'mikneh for animals. Now, so what's the significance of this? Now, when we take this, and then we refer back to the Beis Hamikdash, the place of the Ashras Hashina. So the answer is, when you learn a Daf Gemara, there's a very great danger, very great pitfall. There's a pit you could fall into. When you learn it, especially when you learn Masechta the Yoma, you learn Masechta the Midos, you learn about the Beis Hamikdash, it's a big building. It's a massive building. There are many chambers, many parts, and there's a very big staff. Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Mishmoros, Mamados, Levim. And you can get the impression that the Beis HaMikdash is one big institution. And in fact, we learn in the Gemara, when a person comes to bring a carbon, you go to a clerk, and the clerk asks you, what kind of carbon do you want to bring? An oila, a shlam, a machatas, an asham. You tell him what you need, you pay the money, or you want to carbon oila? $50. You give him $50, he gives you a ticket. Credit card, cash, check, how do you want to pay? You get a ticket. That's the way it's going to be. You get a ticket, and then you take the ticket to the coin, you give the coin the ticket. Ah, you have an oila. Okay, what kind of oila? You know, there are different levels of oila, so you get a better oila, a less expensive oila. He goes in, he takes out the animal, and he starts the avoda, then you have to bring the mincha, the nesachim. It's an institution. And we learned that Bizman Shabbos, Hamid Shayakayam, there were times when there were millions of people that brought karbanos on a single day. Karban Pesach, there was the Gemara tells, they counted, they took the tails, and they counted how many karbanos. Millions. In an institution, all an individual is nothing less than a number. You're a number. We don't know that. That's how we are today. We're just telephone numbers, social security numbers, IP addresses. We've just been reduced to a number. That's what happens when you have an institution. You can get the impression that the Beis HaMikdash was a big institution, and the Yachid loses his sense of importance. That's why over and over in Tanakh we learn that the Beis HaMikdash is not just a bias. The Beis HaMikdash is an oihel. What is the unique characteristic of a shepherd, of a royeh? He knows the nature of every single one of his animals. Every single animal is unique, is special. We employ this metaphor on the Yamim Noirohim, Kivakaras Roye Edroi, like a shepherd inspects his flock. And we ask Hashem Cain, Tisbar, Vesimne, Vesifkoid, count, number, every single individual, nefesh kol choy. We use this metaphor to beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu to look at each individual alone. look at what each person, what each individual needs, his unique needs, the yochet. What does that tell us? It's something that is impossible for us to understand. But when the Shechina rests in the Beis HaMikdash, the koyach of the Shechina is so great, every single person feels unique, feels special. You go to the Beis HaMikdash, there can be on that day 10 million people bringing korbanos. Every single yochid feels as if he's a ben yochid. Because that is what a shepherd does. A shepherd knows the nature of every single one, every single member of his flock. And that's why Moshe and David and Shaul and the Shvatim, they were all shepherds. It's not just enough to be a leader for the klal. You have to be a leader for the individual. It's explicit in the Kedah Korah Shreya Edro. It's Tisper, Vesimne, Vesifkoit, the Yochid. The first tent in Tanakh is a tent that was constructed for a shepherd. The shepherd lives in the tent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate shepherd. Hashem Roi Lo Yechsar Binois Deshe Yarbitzeini. The Beis HaMikdash is an oihel, is the tent for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, understands every single yachid. Every single member of Klal Yisrael is a ben yachid by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Mikdash is called a tent. It's not just a big building with a lot of people, big institution, and everyone is a number. It may seem like that. That would what it would appear to be. But when you add the Shechina, the koyach of the Shechina, which we have no hasaga of what that means, it's a whole different world. It's not a building. It's a big tent. Everyone is unique. And we find the same exact idea when it comes to Eretz Yisrael in a larger form. When you live in Eretz Yisrael, you're not just a social security number. You're just a statistic for the government. You're just part of the big government. The big government is a state, and there are citizens, and there are a lot of social security numbers, and you have an ID number, and you have a card, who you are. No. Harchivi mekoyim oholeich. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, the Gula is here, the Shechina has returned. Eretz Yisrael is not a state. Eretz Yisrael is a big tent. And what is a tent? A tent is the place of resting for the shepherd. Who is the shepherd? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single person is special. Every single person makes a difference. Every single person counts. That's the metaphor you always have to remember when something in Tanakh is described as a tent. Harachivi wide in the koyim ha'olech, viriyos mishmasayich yatu, spread out the curtains of your mishkan. Al tach sochi, do not withhold. This is an unusual word. You don't have this word very often. Al tach sochi, do not inyan minia. Don't hold back. This was by Hashem said this to our very beautiful Yishai is trying to remind us of the Akedah. It fits very well. What's the passage at the end of the Akedah? He says, "Dami yemidei ato yidani kirei lekim ato v'loichasachta es bincha es yichidcha mimeni." You did not withhold your ben yachid. You do not withhold offering up your ben yachid to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's amazing that this word chasachta is used in connection with the word yichidcha. You're one of a kind. And here's exactly what we're doing here. We're taking this word, don't withhold expanding your tent, because the very nature of the tent is the chashivas of the individual. Harichi meisarayich, make your ropes very long. We say the sech chazeki and strengthen the pegs of the tent. Ki yamin usmol tifroit, so you will break forth right and left. Vizarech goyim yirosh, and your seed will inherit nations. Viyarim nishamos yoshivu, and you will settle yourself in cities that were once upon a time desolate. Look at the Mitzudos Pasuk Gimel. Viyarim nishamos he'orim hashenemos. The cities that were desolate during the time of Galus, Yisyashu will now once again be resettled. Bibnei Adam. It's very interesting that it says kiyaminu small. What's the deeper meaning of kiyaminu small of this pasuk? There's going to be a ribuy in the chashivos emunas chachamim. Because what that's happened daf yesterday's daf. What does it say about the mitzvah l'shmoya lo yosu mikol asher yomru lecha yaminu smol? The only time it says this expression yaminu smol is only by the mitzvah l'shmoya divrei chachamim and by zokin mamri, the opposite extreme, that a zokin mamri who rebels against the Sanhedrin. It also says there, reminds him, the reason why he's chayav mis is because he has rebelled against the requirement to listen to the Sanhedrin, and he has gone away from the requirement of not turning away right or left. So this expression of yamin u'smol is a code to refer to the emuna that B'nai Yisrael have in their leaders. And that's what it says about time of Mashiach. In the time of Mashiach, what's going to happen? Ki yamin u'smol tefotzi. You're going to break forth to the right and to the left. The simple interpretation is you're going to expand. But being that we're using these two words, things that the Rabbanan tell us to go to the right, we're going to listen. This that the Rabbanan tell us to go to the left, we're going to listen. Whatever they tell us to do, there's going to be a ribui in emunas chacham bimos Mashiach. Yes.
Oh, can we learn out any kind of an ohel doesn't have a door, temporary?
Like by Avraham Avinu.
Breeze comes in, breeze goes out.
It's always open. Hachnasas Archem. Eretz Yisrael is going to be a land that's going to be open to all, like Or La'amen. It's going to be open door policy. Everyone should come to Eretz Yisrael to learn the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Also, many of the shuls in Israel go by the name Ohel rather than Beis Knesset.
Really?
Rivka, sorry, no.
Never knew that. That's very interesting. It's called an Ohel.
Excuse me. It's the organization. People that don't have.
I know, right.
His father is the word. This.
It's a wonderful organization. Awesome chesed. It's an incredible organization. So this is a very powerful, the yochid. It's a very powerful metaphor, and there are all different parts of this metaphor, the strings, the ureis, the pegs, and we have this, again, another beautiful metaphor, ki yamin u'smol, an expression that's reserved for emunas chachamim, and that's what's going to occur at the time of Mashiach. Pasik dalit, al tiri ki lo sevoshi, do not be afraid. Simply this means do not fear, you will not be embarrassed. Yal tikolmi, do not be shamed, ki lo sachpiri, you will not sachpiri, means it's also an expression of shame. Tikolmi,
it's
cherpa. Do now al tivikilo sevoshi. The al tikolmi. Tikolmi. There are three different words. Three different words here of shame: boshes, klima, and cherpa. Three different expressions that Hashem says you need not be concerned. All built upon fear. Al tiri, do not be afraid. Kilo sevosh, you will not be embarrassed. The al tikolmi, you should not shame yourself. Kilo sachpiri, because you will not feel a need to be ashamed. Kivoshes alumayich tishkachi, the shame of your youth. Alumayich means the youth, the sins that we have committed when we were as a young nation. You will forget, which refers, I think, similarly to the Chet HaEgel. The Chet HaEgel was the sin that Klai Yisrael committed in their youth. The Cherpas Al Minosayich Lo Sizkriyot, and the shame of your widowhood, you will not forget. If you remember, we discussed this a little bit back, that Almana in Yeshaya refers to a nation that does not have a king, a widow. And that's what that could simply be understood is Eicha Yoshua the Hoysa Ka Almana. Almana means that we don't have a king. The king is kaviyachol, the husband of the nation. When a nation is separated from her king, there is no strong leadership, she is called an almana. And of course, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by Klal Yisrael, the ultimate king is the melech malchi ha-mochim, and the melech of the Klal Yisrael is malchusa da'aris, just a dugma ke'en malchusa derakia. So here the shame, this that we have not had leadership in our golus, lo sizkriyo will no longer be mentioned, will no longer be remembered, because we will once again have the malchus of David will be reunited with Klal Yisrael when Mashiach comes. Now there are three different expressions. First of all, this is very well into the daf yesterday. Yesterday in the daf Dali, we learned about David and Kilaf, the Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, David said, that the reason why I was zoichet to have a son Kilov was because I was not embarrassed to present my decisions to my Rebbe Nifi Baishas, Ish Baishas, or Ish Baal, and many times I made mistakes. And when I made mistakes, my Rebbe Ish Baal told me, David, you made a big mistake. It's a Mefarish Rambam. It's a Mefarish Ravid. It's a Mefarish Mishnah Berurah. And David was embarrassed. So David suffered Baishas, Mipi, from the mouth of Ish Baal. That's why he was called Ish Baishas. From his mouth came embarrassment to David. In that merit, David had a son whose name was Kilov. His real name was Daniel, but he was nicknamed Kilov. Kilov comes from the word of Chlima. Chlima. Chof Lamed is short for Chlima. Why the Aleph Beis? Could be it's Av B'Chochma, or he was able to embarrass the Av B'Chochma. He was even greater than David's Rebbe, Mifi Baishas. Kilov was able to put to shame David's Rebbe by showing David's Rebbe that David's Rebbe made a mistake. So I saw one of the Sfarim, what's the chilik between the word Baishas and Chlima? Baishas is where you bring embarrassment upon yourself. Yeah. Bushuk. So what's the chilik? So Boshes, David brought the embarrassment upon himself. David went to his Rebbe, and he told his Rebbe, I had the following question. Sheila was presented before me, and I decided as follows, is this correct? And the Rebbe told him, he made a big mistake. So David brought the embarrassment upon himself. That's Boshes. Klima is where someone embarrasses you. You don't ask for embarrassment. You're sitting on the bus, and someone comes and pours a bucket of water over your head. You're not doing anything. David's son would present chidushim in front of Ish Boishas, and Ish Boishas was embarrassed. I can't do that. Wow, this is brilliant. So Klima, Kilov was called Doniel, his son Doniel was called Kilov, Meloshnov Kiloim, because Kilov would actively embarrass someone. Busha is where the embarrassment is brought, you bring the embarrassment upon yourself. So therefore that's the difference between, we ask for a chodesh of no busha uchlima. We don't want to do things that are foolish. We should do things that are wise. We should not act in a foolish way where we ourselves will bring embarrassment upon ourselves. And furthermore, we don't want to be the victim of shame. We're sitting around doing nothing, and someone comes and attacks us and brings upon us shame. So these are two different expressions, Boishes and Chlima. And you see at least two of those expressions here in this pasuk. Al tiri, do not be afraid, kiloi sevoshi, you will not act foolishly where you will bring embarrassment upon yourself. V'al tikolmi, and you will not suffer klima. No one will come and embarrass you. No, you're not going to sit around and someone will come and attack you. Kilo sachpir, because you will not be put to shame. Maybe the word tachpir is a general term which includes both. I do not know. But it's a third expression of shame. Kivoishes alumayach tishkochi, you will forget the embarrassment of your youth. The cherpas albunosayach, and the shame of not having a melech, having a leader, losiz kriyot. Now there's a word from the Kotzke Rebbe. The Kotzke Rebbe says, al tiri. He doesn't interpret the pasuk al derech drush. Like the pshat means Hashem is telling us a promise. Good news. I have good news to tell you. Al tiri. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. The Kotzke Rebbe says, Al tiri. You don't have any fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Klal Yisrael, you're sinners. The Kotzke Derech. Musar. Al tiri. You're all wicked. You don't fear Hashem. You know why? Kilo sevosh. Because you have no boshes upon it. Chazal tell us that busha is connected to yirah shemaim. Kol mi sheyesh loy boishes ponim biyadua shehu yoreh shemaim. The reason why al tiri, Kotzke Rebbe says you don't have yirah shemaim is because you have no boshes. You have to train yourself to have some sensitivity, some dignity, to feel shame. If you'll feel shame, that will automatically nurture within you a degree, a sense of yirah shamayim. What?
Kotzke doesn't
use, it's just going to come. Oh, the Kotzke is all. is only a shtark. Okay, so we will. Okay, so we'll stop here with pasuk hey. Yeah.
Also dig.
Yeah. So you dig yourself in a hole. You dig a hole. You're so embarrassed. You have to dig a hole to hide yourself.